Shoo. What's up, everybody? It's another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two-time in the house in the new studio. What's happening, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot. Salty Saul, you're the only schmuck that's still in the same studio. What's up, kid? What's going on in crappy old Pennsylvania?
Меня сегодня весели самого утра.
Whoa. Welcome to the Salty Show in Russian.
Wait, let me Google translate that real quick. Hold on.
I had a great morning, by the way. That's what I say, Tim. So Biden, the 1970s called, they want their Cold War back. Yes, man. This is coming into, it is heating up. I don't think it's going to let up. So we're going to talk about some of that. Hunter Biden, back in the news. What is this? The 13th conspiracy theory that comes true? At this point, is it really conspiracy theory, guys? I think not. This is pretty much the news, but 6 months in advance. All right, we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Studio, what is Studio B? What is it? What is that new studio called? What
do you
call it?
Studio West.
Studio West.
We're calling it Studio West.
Yes.
We had to vacate Studio East because Timmy is a big bitch.
You built a studio for your wife. You moved the thing over to my house. I said, all right, cool, man. You know, save me on some electricity bills.
Yeah, it's not that expensive. All right.
So what did Tim say? He was like, when are you going to get your shit out of here?
Yeah, he wants to know when you're coming out to move all your old stuff out of the way.
Oh, wow.
Rude. I don't know. It looks like his garage has got plenty of storage space and Ooh. Other people are doing
well, I mean, Ooh. I had one friend who moved to a different state for 5 years. I had another friend whose wife had a baby. That's been in there for 4 years now. So might as well end, you know what I mean? Apparently, I'm the only idiot that's allowed to, you know, have a full empty garage.
I have decided that the old podcast room should be my room.
What?
And I should be able to decorate it as my own private getaway from the world.
Tim's face.
I think it's just fair.
Jeremy and Heidi fight Tim.
Yeah.
Jeremy's always allowed at my house.
Let me
Jeremy's always allowed at his house. You hear that?
All right, Jeremy, what is going on?
I got a couple of stories. I'm going to start with... So you guys remember...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
What? Something. What happened?
I was talking over my intro song.
No,
sorry,
it's okay. You can do that every once in a while.
Yeah, it's
go with the flow. Feel it.
Yeah, it's your segment. You can do whatever you want.
Just stomp all over it. All right. So you know how the podcast before, we learned about a gentleman who was in love with balloons.
Oh yeah, Mr. Balloonhead.
Yeah, so I have another story. Woman in relationship with toy planes says he's the best partner she's ever had.
Are these remote control planes? Are these remote control? Motorized?
Yeah, let me.
Jeremy's ex-wife.
Stop it. Oh, wow.
A woman in Hungary has opened up about how she found love with a toy plane, which she now shares a bed with and kisses every morning and night. 28-year-old Sandra from Budapest says toy jet is the best partner she's ever had after it turbocharged her love life.
Jesus.
The Hungarian has been obsessed with airplanes since the age of 3 and dreamed her entire teenage years about working with them in capacity.
Tim's
vulgar.
Freaking gestures. He's got his legs on the table spread out.
Yeah. Shoving a plane up.
God knows what to his crotch.
It's his butt. He likes it when you play with the butthole.
I like an engine up my ass.
I like how he did the whole plane coming at you like that, you know, man. Yeah. And then he just goes straight to his crotch. Wow. Dirty.
It is pretty bad. All right. In 2021, she finally secured a job working in the aviation industry surrounded by her favorite things.
Jeez.
Planes. Yeah. Previously, previous human partners had no issue with Sandra's interest in the flying metal objects, but she decided to dive into a full-blown relationship with one after breaking up with her boyfriend at the end of last year. High-flying romance between Sandra and the plane she calls Lufins? 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 I don't know.
Lufthansa?
We'll call him Lufthansa.
Lufthansa Airlines.
Lufthansa, right? Started in January of 2022 after she bought him for 600 pounds online. No, $600, whatever Hungarians use, $600 online. Sandra says, I don't know why I love him. I just love him. He's beautiful and my soulmate. He is the first thing I see in the morning and the last thing I see when I go to sleep. I wouldn't have it any other way. The relationship reaches even new heights when each passing month, with each passing month, and Sandra says she's fallen in love for the first time in her life.
You know, you would have the perfect audiobook voice, because the way you read these things, it's like you're doing an audiobook.
I'm not a very good reader, so
it's like you're trying to emphasize, like, well, Sandra, and I'm just like, oh, shit. It's like making me more into this story about
getting wet as he's listening.
I got some anal leakage right now from, you know, your voice.
That was from you playing with yourself a moment.
I did tickle my butthole.
I guess Lenten is over. Is that what we're saying? Is that where we're going with?
No, I didn't curse. I said tickle my butthole.
Yeah, that's true.
I did.
There was no cursing.
Just vulgarities. Vulgarities. But I guess the spirit of the law versus the...
the letter of the law.
Hey, what? I'd be a good lawyer because I know how to, you know...
All right, let me finish this. She says, we cuddle and kiss throughout the night and have sex.
What?
So she admits to having sex with the airplane.
Oh, my God.
I get to do everything with him.
Oh, my God.
I've never felt like this with a partner before. For the first time in my life, I am in love.
Okay, wow, that's a real battery operated boyfriend. I need to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so because
you say,
you know, we've had this conversation about the future that's coming, right? Point of singularity, machines rising up. There's gonna be people like this bitch fucking on the side of the cyborgs or the robots, not the cyborg, the robots. And you know, and we're gonna look at her. We're like, she's like, I'm on this side, and you're an idiot. You're a useful idiot. She's gonna be one of the first ones dead. What a fucking moron.
I need that WD-40. I need that WD-40. I need that WD-40.
We can always rely on Tim to bring it to the lowest.
He's going to be calling R2-D2 and freaking...
<We're> like, detect really bad smell. Go take shower. The robot just breaks out a hose and starts hosing her down and everything.
What's your opinion on this? Can you fall in love with a plane? I mean,
no.
She fell in love with my plane.
She fell in love with Jeremy's plane.
Well, because it's joystick attached to his body.
That joystick that always goes in between your legs when you're flying.
Yeah, it was weird when you first started talking about it. I don't get, like... Yeah.
Weird about the Hungarian. Was it Sandra? I think her name was.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Way more than I wanted to know about a woman.
Ironically, I matched with a girl on Bumble yesterday.
Does she like planes?
Turns out that she has.
She's Hungarian.
She's a pilot.
No. Oh.
Okay.
Has a pilot license.
They're allowed to do that.
Whole family's pilots.
Yeah.
Sex is must.
But it's ironic that you're talking about planes, and you know I'm the plane, and she.
She's gonna give you a ride.
I can be the jet engine.
She's gonna take it to the sky.
My gosh. Until she hears about what he's really doing with plane engines.
Yeah, shoving it up my booty.
You're all a bunch of weirdos.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we got some crazy people out there, autonomous robots, and we got dogs in the studio.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, it's like a farm in here.
All right, the next story.
Anyways, next.
Next story. All right. Man faces jail after failing to tear down Britain's best man cave. A man who constructed Britain's best man cave is in... in his back garden, could end up spending time behind bars after a deadline to get rid of it expired. 69-year-old Graham Wilden built a huge extension outside the back of his house 8 years ago and is definitely an impressive construction. He has a private casino, a bowling alley,
whoa,
a cinema, a squash courts, and a bar.
Wow.
I'm in.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Where is this? In England?
Road trip. It's in England.
Road trip.
You can tell by the.
Yeah. But the one thing he didn't have was the required planning permits for the structure.
Oh, shit.
Government always gets in the way.
Oh, and England's government. Bad. They're,
are they?
See, this is the problem with government, okay?
Yeah, they...
Let the man live, you know? Leave him alone.
And I guarantee he didn't have a royal name, so he's really going to get nailed.
Yeah, so let's see here. The problem got as far as the Court of Appeals last year, where Walden bid to get a suspended prison sentence for failure to remove the structure was squashed. So they're going after him. They also said that by March 10th of this, 10 days ago, he had to demolish it or face jail time. Built in 2014, the structure was controversial with the neighbors for sure. A high court judge settled the protracted legal battle with a injunction in 2018, when Walden was given until April of 2020 to get rid of the 10,000 square foot building. 10,000 square feet. So you
it's a big building.
Yeah. You know what? The average, four bedroom house is like 2,000 square feet. Yeah. So like it's like four houses, four or five houses together.
He had a whole, what is that the restaurant that has a gaming? He had a whole
like Dave and Buster's. Dave or whatever.
And Buster's.
Or the
Culinary Dropout. Mm-hmm. The Yard.
Is that like that too?
Yeah, there you go.
Is it all inside?
They got the ping pong. They got the ping pong tables and all that stuff.
Oh, okay, I haven't been there. Initially, he was told to get rid of the sports center, but then he was found to be in contempt of court after he didn't follow those instructions. The judge hit Walden with a 6-week sentence suspended for 12 months and told him it absolutely had to be gone by the next deadline, which was 10 days ago. And it's still there. Like, so
leave the guy alone, man. Like,
I would understand if he was like having people come in, right? Like if General John Q. Public could come in and watch movies in my cinema or pay me to watch cinema, or they can play the casino or whatever, right? If he was using it for his own private use, there's less concern, right? There's less liability of something being put together wrong. Because I guess the idea behind the permits is that they make sure that you built it correctly, right? You used the right materials and you know, it was put together properly. But, you know, to the point, right? It's up. It's survived 8-10 years, however long it's been. Are you really worried about it falling down?
All right, their money that they want out
exactly
of it.
Exactly. Look, here's what I think about all this. And I'm reading Milton Friedman's Free to Choose, which talks about this, the free exchange of goods, products, services, right? Where we've gotten to the point in the country with so much regulation, so much laws, so much rules, all this shit that is slowly deteriorating. And this is just the path toward that. For me is, okay, if he built an unsafe structure, okay, and he invites somebody over, and for example, he's selling tickets to bring people over to his whatever. And the person who buys the ticket is saying, hey, I trust you enough to where I trust that the money that I'm going to give you is going to give me the fun that I think that I'm going to have in this place, right? And eventually, if he built an unsafe place, enough people would stop going and he wouldn't be making money out of that, right? It corrects itself. And what I'm trying to get at is there was good intentions in this, right? People could get hurt, right? People could get hurt walking out of their goddamn apartment or their goddamn house, all right? The assurance of safety is not the responsibility of the government. This government's responsibility is protection from our borders, people who coming, who might invade us, protection from coercion, people who might coerce us, right? That kind of thing is the responsibility of government. Or even in this, let me finish my point. Or even in this instance, let's say, for example, he's in his house. Somebody bought a ticket, got in, and somebody got hurt at his house. That person has legal recourse to sue him and do everything. There's already laws for that. So why prevent it from happening? The person still has legal recourse to sue his ass and get their money's worth. You see what I'm saying?
But it's the neighborhood. It's the neighborhood because he built it in a residential neighborhood, right? Because he said his neighbors were upset about this. So he essentially built commercial real estate in a residential area and people are coming into that neighborhood right. where they shouldn't be.
Well,
right?
I don't believe he's, it's his man cave. I don't believe he's actually.
Oh, I thought it was in residence.
No, it said man cave. That's his personal use.
Yeah, it's on the back of his house. So it's in a residential neighborhood and it's his man cave. So I don't believe he's actually charging people to come in and use it. Maybe he's letting his friends or whatever come in, but yeah, I don't think it's any sort of commercial activity.
There you go.
To Saul's point, right?
Oh, I thought you said something.
It's his residence. If anything happens in your house, right, you're financially responsible for it. So,
yeah, I think what happened here is what happens with any government fucking program. And again, I'm not an anarchist by all means. I've said the rules that the laws or the purpose of government. I've said it. But if somebody in their house wanting to live how they want it, they're not disturbing anybody else. What the fuck is the government involved for? It makes me angry. This is because they didn't get their cut. There wasn't somebody a contractor who came out or somebody who, the electrician who didn't get paid. Every single goddamn person.
That's it. They didn't get the permits.
Wants their goddamn cut and wants their goddamn money. It's stupid.
So like my dad's building in Brooklyn, right? A couple years ago, I mean, you know, the city changed all their rules. So because, you know, when the city wants money, they just change rules. Oh, new regulations. Building's not up to code. Getting fined. Dude, every time my dad, he's got to go to the architect, get plans drawn up. Then he's got to send it to the city to get it approved, pay the filing fee. City comes back and says, oh, no, we don't like where this little thing is. So you got to redo the plan. Yeah. And now he's got to go back to the architect, get charged.
Wait. I thought your dad's buildings were already built, pre-existing.
They are. But city changes code. And then they go to
make all of the owners of the business of the buildings re-update them. They don't do that here.
You're grandfathered in.
You're grandfathered in until you're...
You see, but that's New York City. That's how corrupt it is because you got to keep the engine running, right? So now he's got to change... He had to change his CO2, all that. I mean, he had to put in like...
Well, he voted for it, so whatever.
That's literally
he doesn't live in the city,
new
but
type of
but
mafia,
still.
Right? Because it is.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Do you want your business protected? Do you want protection? You know, pay your fees. And that's what this is. Yeah. This is basically government sanctioned mafia. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we say it all the time. I mean, they rob. They rob Peter to pay Paul. You know what I mean?
No, they.
Yeah, that's right.
They're robbing both Peter and Paul. And pocketing the money. That's what they're doing.
Something like
that. Well, Paul is themselves. They rob us to pay themselves.
It's more, I think, more of like a Robin Hood situation where they're
I've never
robbing
agreed
the poor
with
to
that.
Feed the rich.
That whole, you know, steal from the rich, give to the poor. It's just I didn't say the whole reason why Robin Hood.
Yeah, yeah. The whole
theory behind Robin Hood is right. Steal from the rich and give to the poor. It's just like no, that's still stealing and it's still wrong.
Yeah, and I don't think you...
They justify it. They justify stealing.
But you also missed the point of Robin Hood. He didn't just go out stealing from the rich to feed the poor. The rich were literally stealing, raping, king, pillaging the cities, right? And so he's going after the government, basically, and he's getting his money back. What's the difference to what we should be doing today? We need to be going after these assholes that keep taking all of our freaking money and pocketing it. Guess what?
So this is a great question, and we got to get moving, but this is a really great question to ask. Put yourself in their shoes.
Who's?
Put yourself in the top 1%, in the politician's shoes, you know, the people actually doing all this that make the rules for themselves and get rich off it. If you could, would you? Would you make rules against yourself?
Well, but the great thing is
if
when you,
would, you
make
if
the rules,
yourself,
you get to exclude yourself
right.
from those.
So if you had the opportunity to say, well, if I had my way to do it, well, if you had your way to do it, that means you have power. So you're going to say, well, I can't really give everybody the same power because then, you know, everyone's going to be battling each other. So there's got to be still rules in society and, you know, the power structure.
Yeah, but see, this is why this is one of the roles that I think government does need to play, which is they can be the referee, the arbiter. They can say, hey, you're too big, Microsoft. Hey, you're too big, Amazon. Time to break you up, right? I'm all for that. I'm all for the government coming in. For example, a Facebook or you know, they control the flow of information because they do, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to get into this and maybe we'll wait. But, you know, where all of a sudden the rules changed and now they're not censoring people. because it benefits their agenda. But anyways, thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Those were awesome articles.
Thanks, Tim.
I'm upset about the guy who can't have his freaking man cave.
His man cave?
Yeah.
That would be kind of a terrible fun man cave, but I guess get the right building permits and you won't have a problem.
All right.
Squash.
Let's talk about the whole wrestling thing. Now, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, and we didn't get too much into detail. I hadn't done my research, and I think everything was fairly new to try to understand what's happening. But I spent some time this week trying to figure out what the fuck, right? What is happening, and why is everybody so eager to go to war? Because that's what if you turn on the news today, that's what everybody is going
to.
They want to go to war.
Yeah,
right.
You mean America wants to go, or America, the media wants to go?
Everybody,
yeah. The media, they want no fly zones. Yeah. They want planes to be sent in. They want more sanctions. They want it. They're warmongering. Like, yes. Lindsey Graham is the worst. And I'll get into my Lindsey Graham spiel in a minute.
To Tim's point, I mean, it's not just the media. It's everybody. It's conservative. Mm-hmm. The legacy conservative folks. Of course, the whole Democratic Party. They were all wearing, you know, the Ukrainian flag. It's hard for them to wear the American flag. Oh, but the Ukrainian flag, yeah, all day, every day.
Yeah.
Terrible. But so I think to understand what is happening out there, we have to do our due diligence, folks. We have to investigate. Mm-hmm. Why are we here? And you know, one of the things that I realized as I was watching this is there's a lot of complicated history when it comes to that region of the world, Ukraine specifically, the aftermath of World War II, during World War I, even before that. That region has been filled with a lot of I don't want to say a melting pot because we usually apply that to the United States, but it is. In a way, it is because there's a lot of ethnicities and a lot of cultures that are kind of blending in, and they're having their differences, right? They do have differences. Okay, but what I did want to talk about was Russia's, and we touched on this a little bit the last episode, which is why does Russia oppose NATO's eastern expansion? Because that's what's happening, right? That they, if you were to ask a Russian today, Vladimir Putin himself, who, by the way, had a freaking rally that reminded me a lot of the MAGA rallies. I'm going to show you some of those videos, but just FYI, keep that in mind as the media is painting this as, oh, we're breaking down the Russians so that they can give in, you know, cry uncle. It's not what's happening, folks. But anyway, so for a long time now, as I'm going to say this, we have to understand that I'm not defending Russia, folks. You know, these are people, I mean, from an intelligence perspective where, you know, they're spying on us type of thing. A lot of that hasn't died out. Okay. So there's a lot of things that are going on here. So this is not a defense on Russia. They are, to a certain extent, the enemy. And they have interest in Eastern Europe as much as, you know, NATO does, maybe not the United States. I don't know why we're involved, but we'll get into that. So what we're going to do here is not defend Russia, but we're going to kind of present a level-headed approach to this that I believe is what the news media should be doing, is what our leaders should be doing. Have a balanced approach towards this, not like full-on in. Well, who was the guy? It was Lindsey Graham who was saying, I hope they kill Putin.
Yeah, he was publicly calling. He publicly called for his assassination. And then last week, he doubled down on it. He goes, mm-hmm. I stand by what I say. He goes, Putin's a thug and they need to take him out. And I'm like, yeah. Whoa.
He's asking the Russians to take out Putin?
He's asking anybody in his circle.
Ukraine or anybody?
Anybody to take him out and assassinate him.
Mm-hmm.
This illegal.
Yeah. Well,
and somehow they get away with it.
It's not necessarily illegal, right? But to the point I made earlier, which is, remember what Facebook said when they removed a lot of people from their platforms, calling right. for certain things.
Hate speech,
or calling for violence for a public figure, right? When they were making fun of Joe Biden, they removed a lot of people. When they were calling into question Hunter Biden's, the thing that the New York Times, just recently, we're going to get into that conversation, but I don't want to get there yet. But just to Tim's point, You know, these people have changed the way that they approach their platforms, and now they're not censoring people who are calling for the death of a world leader. You know, he is an enemy, folks. He is. We have to acknowledge that. But are we not going to follow certain rules? Okay, but
is he our enemy? He's not our enemy. He's fighting the Ukraine.
He's not our friend.
I'm not saying. Well, but yeah. There's a difference between not being a friend and being an enemy, right?
We've been at war, and we had a long cold war with them. That eventually, because Russia went into financial troubles, that it eventually subsided. But that tension's always been there, and I'm going to talk about this. Okay, so what has been Russia's objection to this, on why they don't want, because they've said this over and over again, okay, throughout the history, as Eastern European countries have joined NATO, right, after the unification of Eastern and Western Germany, right, during the late 80s, early 90s.
It's the Warsaw Pact.
Countries started joining NATO. And ever since then, Russia has always been saying they've been objecting. Even when Poland joined NATO, Russia has been always saying, we don't want this. We don't want the Eastern expansion. Now, what is the reason why they don't want that expansion? Okay, you got to understand one of the stipulations in that agreement, the North Atlantic Trade Agreement, I'm going to read this, is Article 5. Okay? Article 5 says this. It's a stipulation in the charter governing the military alliance between 28 European countries. They make up 28 now. And two North American countries, which is Canada and the U.S., dedicated to preserving peace and security in the North Atlantic area. Article 5 specifies that any attack on any of the member countries is effectively an attack against them all. Okay? So now, the Russians have argued that there was a promise that was made during, I don't know if it was called the Warsaw Pact, but there was a promise that was made when they agreed to for the unification of Eastern and Western Germany. Okay. And they said that the U.S. made this promise, and there were Western leaders who made this promise during those negotiations, right, to reunify Germany. And what they said is that they weren't going to advance into further east. Okay. Now, there are people who were there, right? And if you look at the fact checkers, they're all going to say, that's not what we said. Yeah, Jeremy, what?
So, look, can we go back? When did they say they wouldn't go further east, or they wouldn't expand eastward?
During the whole negotiations of uniting Eastern and Western Germany, so early 90s.
Yeah, it would have been the wall came down in 89 or 90. Yes.
How many do you know how many nations have been added since then?
I have a list, and I'm going to get to there. But yes,
okay, okay.
Yes,
the Warsaw Pact. The Warsaw Pact is what the counter to NATO was. My bad.
Yeah. I didn't think so, because when I was looking it up, I didn't see anything about Warsaw Pact. Because this is what they're saying, is that there were rooms. They were in a room, and then they negotiated this. I think James Baker was the Secretary of State at that time who made the negotiations. He came out later saying, no, we never agreed to that. Okay, but Russia has been holding on to this from the very beginning. Okay, and if you go to the leftist fact checkers today, they're going to say, no, there was never any legal agreement that they came to, and there's nothing prohibiting NATO from expanding eastward and having more people join. Okay, and it is true, right? If you read anything that there's on their charters, on their whatever they follow, there's nothing that says NATO is not going to expand eastward. But consider what America's approach is, all right? And we have what's called the Monroe Doctrine, and I'm going to read you some of this. And this is important to know, because I'm not making an excuse for what Russia is doing. Russia is a thug in that part of the world. They are. But we have to understand how we would react to something very similar happening on our shores. And President James Monroe established what is called the Monroe Doctrine, which is a foreign policy approach, meaning that any opposition basically to European colonialism, okay, on the Western Hemisphere. And what it says is this, it is held that any intervention in the political affairs of the Americas by foreign powers was a potentially hostile act against the U.S. So think about the Cuban Missile Crisis, the expansion of communism attempts through South America. The United States was very involved in that. They opposed it vehemently. You know, we know what happened during that time. And because we have this policy, we say we cannot have a foreign power trying to influence and getting encroaching into the Americas. Okay. So if we think that way, and we don't have any enemies in our southern border, we don't have any country in the southern border, nobody say, but we have this this policy. Now, why do we just, okay, so if you look at the Democrats right now, they're like, oh yeah, who cares? Who cares what Russia thinks? Who cares that? Because think about what happened, right? Russia had just, they were an ally of ours, but we disagreed in philosophies, in our ideas, right? America was a democratic republic form system, and they were a communist form system. But we joined forces to defeat the worst, right? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we came to this, and now NATO is expanding. If you look at that from a perspective of, I thought the war was won. Why is NATO expanding? Because NATO was formed with the approach of, we might have enemies, and we need to unite, because it is a military organization, right? Protection from anyone who wants to harm all these nations. Okay, so, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little convoluted, but I think we need to establish these ideas first before we can discuss it now. So what happened? And we're gonna the question that you asked, Jeremy. So NATO expansion started in 1999, right? No more than 10 years after the reunification of Germany. Poland, the Czech Republic, and Hungary joined NATO. Russia opposed it. They said, no, we don't want this. Eventually, they gave in. Again, financially. Yeah, go ahead.
Does Russia have a say on who joins NATO? I mean...
Again, no.
Well, as it...
Again, no. But let me ask you this question. And again, I fear that this will be made as an excuse. We have to understand our enemy's perspective. When you play chess, you have to know about what your enemy is planning. And how they're interpreting your move of a pawn or your move of a knight or a bishop, whatever, right? You have to understand. And so when they look at the board, at the chessboard, and they're seeing these moves, to them they see it. Okay, the West is trying to expand a democracy into their area. That's how they see it, which is how we would see it if say, for example, Russia and all these other countries, like whatever,
okay,
North Korea, they unite and they say, well, we don't care if Mexico join us. Why is the United States so opposed to Mexico joining, you know, their organization? We'd be like, we don't want them on our fucking door. Yeah,
they are.
I think that you're also missing the point at which these countries were all once USSR. They mm-hmm. were all once
yep.
one country with a bunch of like states, basically. Yep. So like, for example, the United States, you know, here we are, the United States with all of these individual states with inside the nation. Yep. Well, USSR was like that too, you know, back within, well, I know within some of our families' lives.
That is a great point,
Heidi. And lifetimes. So,
and not only were they a unified country like that, but they also shared a lot of what are you pointing at? Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about. They have a lot of ethnicity. They share. They're all Slavs, right? When you look at Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, all those countries in that area, they're all Slavs. That's their history. And so,
yeah, it was 15 republics.
Yeah,
I have the list of them too. So, in 1991 is when they were dissolved.
Yes.
So again, in our lifetimes, these 15 republics were dissolved into their own countries. So, I mean, Russia's looking at this, Putin's looking at this, I'm sure, too, to some extent. Again, not that I'm defending him, but at the same time, he, you know, 1991, hello.
So let me ask you guys this, because, you know, I'm glad this is happening, because we have to check ourselves now as America, right? The reason why I say that, we say Putin doing this is super bad because Putin's doing it, right? What do we say? We use he's a threat to democracy, right? But when we go do it and we go carpet bomb, you know, residential neighborhoods in Syria because we're fighting terrorists, we go, oops, we made a mistake, bad intel. We're the ones bombing children. We're the one destroying, you know, ruining countries in the name of democracy, right? So I'm not defending Russia, but I'm not defending even us either, because that's like the pot calling the kettle black. You know what I'm saying? Because we've done a hell of a lot worse in the last 50 years. And remember, we were the ones that did drop the only nuclear bombs this world has ever seen did come from the United States. So we talk all high and mighty that, you know, we're doing this to protect everybody, but we do a lot of damage in this world and there's no consequences.
To your point, Tim, and to expand on that,
what's the face? No, I was just curious.
I don't know why you brought up the nuclear bomb.
Because they're saying that Putin's going to drop nukes and everything else. But when you look at the history of what we've done in war, we've done a hell of a lot worse in the last 100 years than anybody ever did.
I don't think that's the case. There's a quote in the movie, and it was ideas are peaceful, history is violent. I forget what movie said this. It's very true. But to your point, and I agree with you. There was a need to stop the Japanese from, because more people would have died if America hadn't used that bomb. Those bombs, there's no way around it. The Japanese were kamikaze. They were killing themselves. They were not going to surrender unless
we weren't doing. Yeah. And we weren't doing that so that we could make the United States bigger.
Exactly.
I mean, we were doing it to and right, wrong, or indifferent, evil, right? Defend independence of other countries. Yeah. Right. I mean, as they're saying, right? Defend their democracies.
I only brought up the nukes is because when we talk about all these countries going to war and, oh, look how savages they are and they're a threat to democracy and everything else. I'm talking about from a military perspective, the damage we've done,
Tim, and the chaos we've caused, there's Candace Owens, I think, says it, that there's these catchphrases, these words that people throw out to motivate people, to convince them that they're doing good, right? And so this whole Ukrainian crisis, people have to ask themselves, what is America's national interest to go defend Ukraine? All right? And there really isn't. There is none. Folks, there isn't any. To spread democracy? Stop it. So, and to me, it goes to show, they're not a democracy, right? Exactly, Heidi, because if there's videos out there that the media is not posting, of Ukrainians against Ukrainians committing crimes against humanity. Hey, there's videos of this, and I might show some of this, but it's too hard to watch some of this. Okay, huh? And it's happening today, and the news media is not reporting it. All right, so why are we going to go defend a country that doesn't have clean hands? They don't, folks. Okay, so which goes to show you the illogical approach from the left, thinking that, you know, oh, we're going to go, you know, defend this country's borders because Russia's bad. Right. And again, they play no strategical interest for the West. None. OK. And yet the encroachment on the invasion that's happening in our own border. We don't have to worry about that. They become the three blind mice when it comes to
need to come here for climate change. Climate change is the biggest threat to South America. And they need to migrate here to America because we got to be the open borders and set the tone for, you know, everybody. F out of here.
So I'm going to go down through this again. I know that when I heard about this, I didn't have enough information to understand it. And I don't claim to completely understand it. There's a lot of history there and a lot of to grasp. But we have to be told these things in order to be able to make a good judgment call and to make a good decision here. It's not just, oh, yeah, democracy, we're going to shove it down your throat. Okay, no, we have to. This is chess, folks. And we could put ourselves in a position where we're compromised. America, right? We can put ourselves, we could become the Titanic, is what I'm saying, is that we think we're too big to fail. But folks, if people lose the trust in the dollar, our economy tanks, okay?
So
let me expand on what happened in the history. So 1999, Poland joins Poland, Czech, Hungary. 2004, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, the Baltic countries join. So did Romania and Bulgaria. Again, this is the NATO was expanding. Think of how we would react if communism was expanding throughout the South America, encroaching into our ideas. Okay, 2008, and this is what started the whole Ukraine civil war. Okay, because this has been going on for a while. There was what's called a Bucharest summit out in Romania. Okay. And at the end of that meeting or that whatever conference, NATO, what they did is that they declared an invitation to Ukraine and to Georgia. And pretty much they guaranteed them admission into the whatever, the alliance. Okay. Russia saw that. And this is when this is the first time that they acted, because they had been watching this. They had been watching this and they were, you know, publicly opposing it. But it wasn't until Georgia, they guaranteed this to Georgia and Ukraine, that Russia started to act. And so you started seeing Russia going into Georgia, and in Georgia, they lost efforts to join it to NATO, eventually died. And because, again, it was Russian intervention. Now, question. Does Russia want to get involved in a war in Ukraine? We have to ask ourselves this. Does Russia...
The people or...
No, does the Russian Putin. Country... Putin.
Let's say Putin. He does.
And so let's think about that answer. Why do you think... Why would he want to get involved in a all-out war in Ukraine?
Look who's backing him. And look at... You got to look at the bigger picture, right? You got to look at the bigger picture. This isn't about... You know, it's the One Belt Road Initiative, the whole Eurasia landmass. China, this is China's initiative. And remember, right before the war started, who was in China with Xi, right before the Olympics started? Putin, right? And then all of a sudden, right after they had their thing, all of a sudden you started hearing during the Olympics, oh, there's a military buildup, oh, you know, from the Russian side in Ukraine. And what they did was in that meeting, Xi said, hey, we're going to buy oil exclusively from you. So I think they buy, like, I think 45% of Russian oil. It's either 25 or 45, because they also do with the Saudis, right? So with Xi, so now you got that trade, right? And in return, he's also back channeling this war, just like we've done in the past, right? So China's back funneling this, but their whole, if you go pull it up. It's the One Belt Road Initiative. And it's all through China, goes into Russia, all through Ukraine, into Europe. It's for the whole flow of trade into
the Silk Road.
And into Africa, yeah. And Ukraine's a crucial part, because that's what connects to Western Europe.
So here's what I think. If we were to say this is true, that Russia has made an agreement with China and this is their goal, okay. But everything that has happened, if we were to be played arbiter, and watch what's happening, right? Watch Russia's moves. Watch NATO's moves. Who's encroaching on who right now? Again, I'm not defending Russia. Russia is a thug country that has, like you said, they have aspirations for reunification of the USSR. But up to this point, I think NATO has been acting as, hey, we don't trust Russia. Therefore, we're going to have all these countries join, so that there could be a military force in direct opposition to it. First of all, for all this time, Russia has, everybody has known this. They've been in financial issues. They can't even start war. I'm gonna show you a video that shows how much each country spends on war. Okay, spends for their military. Okay, and you're gonna see something interesting happen in those numbers. And when you look at those numbers, are you gonna say, oh yeah, it looks like Russia is gearing up to start a war? There's another country that's been spending a lot of money, China, in their military recently, and we are doing nothing. We are picking a fight, in my opinion, with the wrong country. We are. NATO is. And I don't understand why. And this is why I think we have to look. Candace Owens says that this is a big old, what is that called when you're moving money around? What is that called?
Money laundering.
Yes, she calls it money laundering scheme.
Yeah,
because this is a way that they can hide all these freaking illegal transactions, and they're covering it under the idea that, oh, we're going to spread democracy. Oh, I don't know. I don't go that far. But you have to look at the picture and see why are we doing these moves on a country that, in my opinion, doesn't pose that as great of a threat as a country that right now is rising.
Because it's easier. It's easier to go put all the sanctions on the junior partner instead of going for the main partner, right? If you go to the main partner, China controls everything. See, when we talk about chess, right? China and Russia have been, they're putting everybody in check right now because they, what are they controlling? They got Nord Stream 2, right? Right? Russia's already got Nord Stream 1. They got approved day one to go build Nord Stream 2 after Biden killed the Keystone Pipeline. Said, oh yeah, Russia can go build that, right? Okay, so you have the complete flow of oil, and if they wanted to cripple Europe, they can just cut off Nord Stream 1 in Germany. Watch how fast Europe goes into chaos, okay? In matter of, it'd be a week, okay? Now, Xi, he's been strategically doing things. South America, it's funny, you talk about communism encroaching. Hey, majority of South America is communist and socialist now. Nobody's paying attention to this.
Maybe Chile, Venezuela, obviously. But there's a lot of the countries that
Argentina,
Argentina just lost. The Argentina Socialist Party just lost.
I thought they just won. There was
a big
Peru,
scandal there that they just lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then.
You're right. There is certain things that's happening, but it's not. In other words, it's not out there like NATO is, right? NATO's announcing, hey, we see you as a threat and we're going to do this and we're going to push towards this. Now, I don't know, but people are not asking these questions.
You can't talk bad about China. Think about it. You can't look what we did to China. I mean, look what we did to Russia. In 1 week, we crippled everything. Mm-hmm. We took away all business, we crippled their money, everything. Why won't we do that with China, who's actually the biggest threat? Think about it. We applauded them for the Olympics and everything. We gave it to them. But, you know, you got the Uyghurs out there, slave labor, you know, being persecuted daily, and it's nothing. Like, oh, we know what happened, but, you know, they own all the manufacturing. They own the ports. The supply chain issues that we see, everything's in China. And they just shut down again for COVID, right? They just shut down. People ain't talking about that either. China just shut down again for COVID, like in their what their Silicon Valley area is. So this is getting crazy. They control everything.
I think in my opinion, I think is a lot of that's propaganda. I think a lot of that is just to scare the West.
I think when
I look at those videos back from 2020, when they were showing people in body bags, I think it was all a show. To scare the West. Yeah, it was fucking freaking body bags out in New York. I'm like, shut the fuck up. This is not happening now.
But they know they can't do that to China. I think they can't.
But what we're doing is that we are pushing Russia to the brink. To your point, they've cut all their access to their money. Now their survival instincts are going to eventually kick in, folks. And
well, that's why they're turning to China to begin with, because they're
exactly
so fight or flight.
In my thing is, what do you think they're going to do when all hope is lost? And here's the case in point that I want to make. At a Moscow stadium, this was a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Chants erupted. All these people, because Putin was there, screaming Russia, Russia, and they all had their. Now we're being told in the news that their spirits are down and they're ready to kick him out and Putin's not popular. It's a lie, folks. There's a lot of people who are supporting him. You look at videos. I'm looking at videos that are not, and you have to do this using VPN. Don't fucking use Google. Don't even use
DuckDuckGo
right now. DuckDuckGo, the CEO,
they lost their credibility.
They lost their credibility. Go to a different browser. Don't do Yandex because that's Russian. But use another browser. Search engine. Aside from maybe even browsers, dude. Right now I'm using Brave and their search engine because they're not filtering any of that shit yet. But this is crazy. Now, a lot of what happened in Ukraine. And I want to get back to this because I think it helps us lay a little bit more of a foundation. A lot of what happened in Ukraine during world wars, I think it has remnants to what we're seeing today. Okay. Now, again, these are videos you're not going to see. And we touched a little bit about this in the previous episodes. There were many Nazi sympathizers in Ukraine during World War II. What is that? They did atrocities against many Russians, dude.
The Azov Battalion or something like that? It's
from that. But during World War II, there were actual Ukrainian people Nazis wearing swastikas. They were Nazis. Mm-hmm. Now, when the coup erupted in Ukraine back in 2014, because this goes back to then, started the Civil War, which was heavily supported by extremist Nazi-like groups, okay? Russia looks at that And they look at that and they say, okay, we just beat the Germans who killed a bunch of Russians. Folks, if you look at the number of Russians that died at the hands of these Germans, millions. I mean, have you seen that number that shows? It's just such a... Oh, God, you have to watch this video. Go YouTube it. Maybe I might show you guys this, okay? But see, we don't understand this when we look at why is Russia acting this way? Who belongs to that organization, NATO? Germany does, okay? And so I'm not saying Germany still has those things. No, in fact, they're the complete opposite. They won't even touch it. But there are groups, especially at the Ukrainian border there, who still espouse this. And there are videos. There's a documentary that Tim sent us. It's on YouTube by what's his name?
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone, that shows this history that's still there. It's still alive and well, folks. And so Russia looks at that, and these people are killing Russians. I'm using VPN to get into some of these sites, and they're showing videos, dude, of
Donbass area,
Ukrainians, Ukrainians committing crimes against ethnic Russians.
Uh-huh.
Crimes today, folks, that you're not seeing in the news media. Do you guys want to see this? Some of these are hard to watch, but I think it's important to know this, folks, because this is not just, oh, Russia's committing crimes. This is actually Ukrainians committing crimes against Ukrainians who either don't want to fight or see themselves as Russians because they're loyal to Russia. They say, well, you know what? I don't want to fight this. Yeah, Tim.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if this is one of the videos, but again, there's so much propaganda you don't know, but this one was kind of eerie. It was like five soldiers. They had like probably about 50 people in an apartment laying down, face down, and they were sitting there yelling, and they had guns. They had their guns, but they were all faced. They couldn't look at them. These people were scared to hell, man, because they're face down. They don't know if they're going to die or not because they're messing with them. Like they're putting guns by them and like, you know, and they're all freaking out, but these people are sick, dude.
Are you talking about Ukrainians on Ukrainians or you're talking about Russians on Ukrainians?
I'm pretty sure it was Ukrainian on Russians. But, you know, again, all these videos I take with a grain of salt because I don't know what to trust.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, and it's not my...
But is not showing that.
No, they will never show this.
But the thing is that they should talk about it. They should say, this is happening. We don't know who's committing it, but it's happening. They're not showing that.
Because people be like, we're on the side of Russia at that point. People, more people, if you actually showed the truth, yes, Putin is a thug, all that. But if you show, that specific group of Ukrainians, mm-hmm. right? That Azov battalion and the other groups like that.
Yeah.
That's basically Antifa and the SS, right?
Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
But I was going to say, they're saying we got to arm these people. If people actually got to see what these people were doing, you're going to be like, wait a minute. You're calling me a Nazi and a white supremacist because I care about America first, right? And I say, I don't want, you know, you call me transphobic because I don't think women should be, you know, swimming in the NCAA championship for swimming, right? That whole debacle. But I'm a white supremacist. But Ukraine has to protect their borders because Putin's a thug and bad in democracy. But to do that, we have to give true Nazis guns.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me you want me to make these Nazis stronger and give them weapons? You're messing. You're on the wrong side of history on this one. And more people would be like, wait a minute. Same thing happened in Russia. Wait a minute. We fought a war to stop this. And now we're going to give them guns to fight. Oh, this is.
Yeah.
It's very telling.
We can look at this and say, well, Germany's, you know, doesn't support that. And I don't think they do. But you got to look at it from the other side and say, okay, we just beat this country that they were wearing swastikas. They were white supremacist, and now they're part of NATO, and Germany supporting them to what, ethnically cleanse Russians from the Eastern Russians from Eastern Ukraine.
I just want to know where all of these Americans that are supporting this war, who exactly are they sending over there to fight for them? Because I don't see them arming themselves and getting on a plane to go over there. So, hey, I'm all for it. You want to go and you want to fight on this border? Great. You pick up your weapon, you get on an airplane and you go. Because in the meantime, my family and I are staying right here to protect our own borders.
Interesting note to that.
Freaking keep your nose out of other people's shit because we have enough shit in our own country that isn't being taken care of and handled.
Exactly.
Period. 100%. And we're diving into this and feeding into this even more. And it's like, get your head out of your ass, people, and look at your own little glass house that you're living in.
So check this, to your point, Ukraine said, hey, we're going to change the rules. Anybody who wants to come and fight for us, we're taking everybody. We're taking all volunteers. So people from America are actually going there to volunteer. But then they're finding out real quick that they're being sent right to Kyiv or Kiev. Yeah. I don't care, however Kiev. You want to say it, Kyiv or Kiev, whatever.
Kiev.
And they're being sent there with like basically no weapons. They're like, wait a minute, we didn't sign up for this. But these same people are quick to go, to your point, to go to that area to protect that border, but they won't go down to their own border because they're just illegals that want to come over here and, you know, work. You're prejudiced against people. No, because they're not sending their best. You know what I mean?
Not only that, it's the cartel that controls that shit.
Yeah.
People are not paying attention, and there's human trafficking. It's not just
what's going on.
Look, if you look at the Ukrainian border, I mean, there was a lot of Russian Ukrainians, right, living in, because they're right next to each other, folks. And refugees into Russia, and this is before this whole thing started back in 2014 when this uprising of white supremacists, basically this is what they are, folks. Look, this is one of the things that's unique about America. Thomas Sowell always says he doesn't like the word or the phrase "diversity is our strength." He says no, diversity creates a lot of problems. Overcoming diversity is our strength. And so, you know, you have a country like Ukraine, they're basically all Slavs, but they have a different language and a somewhat different culture, and they hate each other. I mean, some of them, right? And so when you look at America and what we've been able to accomplish, it's a fucking miracle, man. People don't want to acknowledge that. And so, but he says, diversity is not our strength. In fact, it might be one of our strongest weaknesses. It's hard to get people who are very different to get along. We've made it happen in this country to a peaceful extent. And so he says, overcoming diversity is our strength. I wanted to talk about Zelensky, all right? So Zelensky goes to Congress, he makes a speech, gets a standing ovation. Basically, he was calling for war, bro. This guy goes out and calls for war. Now, one thing that because right now he's being rumored that he's going to get some fucking kind of Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize.
What?
How's he going to get a peace prize when he's calling for war? Hey, the guy that started World War III, you know what? Great idea. We're gonna give him the Nobel Peace Prize, but the 6'3" orange man that brokered peace in the Middle East
5 times, was it?
But yeah, right before the 2020 election, got nothing. Yeah. You know what they said? He didn't do shit. But that irritates me because the guy that called for peace for 4 years, right? Who told Putin, if you touch Ukraine, I'm sending a missile to Moscow. Chi, if you touch Taiwan, a missile's going right up Beijing's ass. And you know what they did? They were like, oh, this guy's crazier than us. But he was strong. He told Rocket Man, our biggest threat to the world is Kim Jong-un. You know, and what did Trump do? He marched, he got on Air Force One, waddled his orange orangutan ass to the demilitarized zone. And you know what he did? He stepped over
his hand.
And you know what happened? Shook his head and he stepped back. So they didn't capture him. You know what I'm saying? So he was brokering peace around the world. And this is why they had to get rid of him. Because this world, this globalization only works on war.
Tulsi Gabbard calls it the military industrial complex. And I think she summarizes it very well. Again, look, I don't agree completely with everything that she says on this video, but it's important to watch because see, and to Heidi's point, this is not somebody who is a, you know, what are those people who want war and never serve chicken hawks?
Warmonger.
Want war, never serve.
War dogs.
Yeah,
something like that. There was that whole movie. It was the war dogs.
But she obviously did. She was out there, you know, in the Middle East. And
she still serves.
Yeah. And she says something very important. So I think this has weight. Her words have weight when she says stuff like this. So I'm going to play this video.
She's cute.
Yeah, I'm going to step away for a little bit, but this video is worth watching. I think it's about 4 or 5 minutes, but let me play this. By the way, YouTube censored this video. Mm-hmm. She's mad about it.
It says,
She's showing. This is her. Sue this him. Is her TikTok, which should show you why is there such a move for war? Okay, so let me play this.
A lot of money to be made. My Raytheon stock's doing good.
Oh, jeez.
Why can't I hear
it? I'm not stupid.
Nothing that the Biden administration has done has helped to make this situation better, has helped to de-escalate this situation, which is why the only conclusion that I can draw about why they have been completely silent and not engaging at all on this window of opportunity that President Zelensky opened last night is that what is happening before our eyes right now is exactly what they want to see continue. Why is that? Because it's good for the military-industrial complex. It makes these politicians look tough. And really, you know, it allows them to have this proxy war with Russia, something that Hillary Clinton laid out just recently. Really what their aims are, this war machine, this power elite in Washington, is they want to turn Ukraine into another Afghanistan, turn into these killing fields where this long-term insurgency is supported. And they bleed out and cripple, kill as many Russians as possible for who knows how long. And they're really showing their real aim in the fact that they're not taking action right now to end this conflict.
Now, it might not surprise you since you just mentioned it, but Hillary Clinton is indeed back on the war wagon. Watch.
If you care about freedom, if you care about democracy, if you care about the rights of individuals, if you care about our future, even though it's a war that is happening far away, it is a war that will affect what kind of world we're going to live in. The Ukrainians are really, and I would argue, fighting for all of us.
Tulsi, so they're fighting for Americans in Ukraine. What? Who's what?
People like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they all use this flowery language about how, you know, we've got to take a stand and pay the price. The American people need to pay, you know, so much more for gas, so much more for food, make those decisions between filling their gas tank and buying groceries because freedom. The question that we should all be asking them is, okay, tell us how Russia somehow has the power to take away our freedom of speech. Here in America, tell us how Russia has the power to take away the freedom and rights of parents who want to make sure their kids are getting a quality education. Tell us how Russia has the power somehow to take away our right to bear arms, the rights that are enshrined in our Bill of Rights. The answer to these is they don't. They don't have that power. No, so the lines that we're being sold, it's just crap, Laura. It's crap. And sadly, their actions are resulting in more and more people suffering rather than being leaders and de-escalating this and bringing about an end to this war.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to be you don't have to be a politician. You don't have to be a lefty or righty. It's logical. Everything you're seeing right now, it's logical. Wait a minute. I'm paying more for gas, they're telling me, because Putin's war. No, I was paying more for gas all through 2021 into the beginning of 2022. It was already a dollar higher than what it was at the beginning of 2021. So don't give me this. Don't tell me that, supply chain issues for a year. We're going to keep fixing it. It's not getting fixed. No. Everything is a broken promise, and all they do is blame somebody else for their misfortunes. You haven't noticed that? And you look at this generation, what does everybody, all these lefties do? They blame everybody else for their problem. There's no accountability. And I agree with everything she says. Yeah, I mean, obviously, she's still a Democrat. Obviously, it seems she's moving a little, you know, more center right from the left. But, dude, this affects everybody. But people in this country are so dumb to realize that you're being played. You're being played by the people that said, We got your back. No, they want to control everything about you. They want the Second Amendment to stop us from keeping everybody enslaved by the 1%. Sorry, that's democracy to them.
I think my default approach now is when all these characters, the same characters who sold us COVID, when they're all united in this message. Again, it's alarms. You're like, no, I don't trust you. I don't trust them. I don't trust that what they're selling, that we should be buying it. maybe if there was a little bit more of a disagreement and a little bit more, you know what I mean, like separation, right? The, you know, this group believe that, you know, we shouldn't get involved, this other group. But when they're all unanimous in this, I don't know, man. I look at that and I don't trust them.
Everybody was together for COVID. 15 days to slow the spread. We got to do it. Every Republican governor, every Republican lawmaker in Congress, minus a few, just like this ward, minus a few. Every Democrat was like, yeah, we got to do it. I don't think there was any pushback from a single Democrat about locking down the world, you know, locking down the country. They were like, oh, yeah, we got to do it, because they were five steps ahead of the GOP plan. But the uni party was all in on it. That's another thing. But like, to your point, the same people that sold you COVID are the same people that sold you Russiagate, are the same people that sold you, oh, very fine people, are the same people that told you the Covington kid was, you know, he did some dumb things, right? Are the same people that brought you, hey, a mostly peaceful, fiery protest, you know what I mean? Are the same people that said Antifa was just a myth, okay? Are the same people
January 6th.
That told you that, January 6th, and the same people, and this is going to, you know, for a segue, you know, for a minute, are the same people that told you, Hunter Biden thing, that's Russian disinformation, okay? The same people that been lying to you, those 14 laureates, you know, that tell you that Build Back Better and Build America Back
Two more. Kyle Rittenhouse and Brett Kavanaugh. Right?
Yeah.
You remember?
The raping.
And so now, we're supposed to trust them now? No. Fuck you. I don't trust them. Now,
I don't trust. I trust Putin more than them. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
I trust Putin more than these guys. I don't like saying that.
I know what you're saying.
Trash.
Because he's predictable. Right. Because we, in my opinion, it's one of those things where you got to know, you know, your enemy, right? You know that he's acting on this. He wants to show force, whatever he wants to. He has aspirations. He's predictable. These people. I don't know, man, especially some of these Republicans out there, like Lindsey Graham. Like, I'm beginning to think that these people were more involved. I know definitely McCain was involved in framing Trump. These people. I don't trust them, bro.
Oh, no. Lindsey Graham was definitely involved. So if you remember, real quick, if you remember back in 2015, Lindsey, or maybe even 16, right before the election, that video that surfaced up in Ukraine, where it was Lindsey Graham, the Minnesota senator, Amy Klobuchar, or whatever.
Klobuchar?
Klobuchar, it was McCain, Klobuchar, Lindsey Graham, and another senator, I believe. They were sitting with the Ukraine military saying, hey, we're going to get you the missile so that you could fight Putin and take it. Because they were expecting Hillary Clinton to win. If Hillary Clinton gets elected president, we were in a nuclear war with Russia. We were all in. And then Trump stand in. And that's where they all had to come back and say, oh, we love President Trump, America first. We got to do this. No, they've just been waiting. So they were all, but they're all behind.
It's very similar to the COVID thing, where they created an economic borderline collapse on the country because they forced everybody to stay home. And then here comes Biden, and he opens everything up, and then he says, "Oh, look, all the jobs I created, guys." That's what they do. They create chaos so that they can be like, "Oh, we saved the day," and they post that. They post it on their Instagram, and everybody like, it was like, fuck out of here, bro. That's made up. It makes me so angry, dude. You know, because people are posting all over social media, and I liberals, leftists, condemning all of the Russian people, calling them, you know, they're calling them spies or Putin insurgents, you know. And I think this is dangerous and ignorant. You know, anybody living in America, any Russian living in America, they're calling him that. To the point that I made earlier, not all the world sees America as the good guy. Okay, this is a truth that we have to acknowledge. And imposing sanctions on the Russian people, not on the government. This is what we did. We imposed sanctions on this is what we did, folks. We imposed sanctions on the people where they can't withdraw their own money to feed themselves. This is happening. Nobody's reporting this. How do you think they're going to react? How do you think we're going to convince them otherwise now that all this shit has happened? In fact, I think they'll be more willing to withstand the pressure because, in essence, we've become the very thing that Putin told them we were. Folks, and I'm making this correlation. I started it earlier, the chess correlation. The pawns on a chessboard may seem non-essential to the untrained eye, but when you've made enough blunders and all you have left on the board is your worthless mumbling king talking about his hairy legs, being protected by a decrepit, badly positioned bishop giving drunk speeches in Congress, you know what I'm talking about. And that enemy pawn you underestimated earlier is now inching closer to the finish line. You're going to realize that in the end, that pawn could very well be what puts you in a position to be checkmated. We are not immune to blunders, folks. We're not. We could very quickly lose control of this. It's similar, again, to chess. You think you're in a good position and all of a sudden, you know, you're not. So I think we do a disservice to the country and to future generations if we don't try to at least understand what the impact of a World War III would be. We have to analyze the fucking board. But again, the party that yelled, "Trump will take us into war," has suddenly become militant in their quest to destroy Russia. To the point, again, they're calling for the rounding up and deportation of any Russian that's in the country in the school system. This is fucking mental. And so these globalists are playing us like a fiddle, right? They got us all riled up over COVID and now Ukraine. And I'm sorry to say this, but many of you can't even fucking point where Ukraine is on a map. And yet these people are so willing to destroy the planet over it because that's what's going to happen, folks. Russia, to Tim's point, has nuclear weapons pointed at us. You think they're just going to allow themselves to be destroyed? That they're just going to take it lying down? You fucking stupid? No, I'm serious, dude. It makes me so angry reading some of these comments, some of these tweets, bro, from the leftists because they're so militant right now. And because they were virologist experts a few months ago. Oh, they knew everything about COVID and vaccines. And today, They're foreign policy experts. And they have taken up the mantle now. Oh, they're going to shove peace and democracy down the throat of the Russian people. This is how they're thinking. No one has the humility anymore to say, well, maybe we don't know or we don't fully understand this. Maybe we should take a step back and analyze. Let's analyze this for a goddamn minute. Maybe, just maybe, not castling your king early on was a bad decision to begin with. Maybe we don't have our pieces lined up on the board how we should before we can even start thinking about engaging in the next world war. Folks, our military commanders are more concerned about LGBTQ rights. This is the truth. Then focused on winning wars. We have to acknowledge this. We are not prepared for this shit. I think a lot of people think are underestimating our enemies, especially China. But I digress. Let me bring this back. So the more I think about it, dude, I think it becomes clear. I think Democrats are pushing this war. I don't think they care about the people. Maybe some people, they're like, oh yeah. But I think the Democrats in charge, they only want to paint Republicans as Russian allies. They're using this, bro. Think about what's happening. Because right now there's a lot of conservatives like, no, we don't want to go to war. What the fuck? And like, oh, Russian asset or Russian
you're racist.
now remember, folks, these are the same people that said Trump would get us into war.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're begging for one. They post shit. Yeah. Do you remember? They labeled Trump supporters as insurgents on January 6th. Now, you remember that. Meanwhile, they ignore the literal overthrow of the previous Ukrainian government by what did they do? They invaded their government buildings, folks. These were white nationalists, and they were white nationalists. I'm not even lying. Go watch these documentaries. Go watch the videos. And look, I would have said, if I hadn't watched that Oliver Stone video, I would have not known this. But they're clearly wearing their fucking emblems, and they're clearly in their conversations spewing white supremacist bullshit. So I think this is all a ploy. And the ploy is they want to kill multiple birds with one stone. And I think this is what it is. One, like I said, label Republicans as Russian assets or sympathizers, you know, so that they can do what? Spy on their political opponents, right? They can spy on their political enemies like they did with Trump. I think the number two reason why is they want to start a war on behalf of Ukraine. Why? To hide, again, we said it last time, biolabs. Hide Hunter Biden's crimes, maybe, or the laptop that continues, you know, to give. This guy had fucking countless emails on there between him and Ukraine officials.
Burisma.
Yeah. And it looks like he was the fucking middleman because, again, he mentioned, Tim says this all the time, the big guy. And the FBI found evidence that Joe Biden himself was planning to meet with these people. They don't have evidence of the meeting, but there was that you can tell on the conversation that he was planning to meet them. So how much money was funded? You know, how much money has from Ukraine funded these politicians? I don't know, bro. And I think the third thing here is to create a oil crisis. I've said it earlier, create a crisis, you know, because what is it going to do? Is it going to bring their wet dreams to life where, oh, now, you know, see, we have to save the planet. Oh, we have an urgent need, you know, and I think, Tim, you sent us this where they were talking about even doing a shut the economy down like they did for COVID for a climate crisis. I'll say we have a climate crisis, shut the economy down.
And they can do whatever they want.
And which is, and all this leads to the Great Reset, folks. We need to do an episode of that. Maybe we will. But what I think what they'll probably do is they'll stage some bullshit. Claim that Russia fired on whatever, I don't know, Poland or something. This, I think, is what this whole thing is leading to. They're going to, similar to the Reichstag fire, remember that? Hitler used as a way to, you know, bring on his reign. I think the leftists are going to use some tactic like this. They're going to blame it on Russia, and it's going to be all out war. God forbid that we don't, but I don't know, man. The way that the rhetoric that's happening, fucking weird, man.
They did an interesting poll, right? Because all you kept hearing is, Zelensky, we need a no-fly zone. You got to help us with a no-fly zone. And everyone's like, yeah, that sounds about right, you know? But people didn't understand what a no-fly zone was, right? If NATO helped with a no-fly zone, that meant that American fighter jets, you know, British fighter jets, you know, NATO fighter jets would be actively shooting down Russian planes, shooting at Russian planes or shooting down at tanks, right? So it would be an all-out air fight. So basically, you are now at war with Russia. But they never tell you by enforcing a no-fly zone, that means that if Russia flies a plane in, you can shoot it down. And what's interesting about the poll is majority of people supported the poll, right? But once they explained to them what a no-fly zone really is, everyone was like, wait, we don't want to go to war, right? Because again, uninformed voters, uninformed people make really bad decisions because it's based on emotion, because they go, oh, Putin's bad. We got to kill everybody, right? We got to stop them from killing Ukrainians, right? Because we care about the Ukrainian people. So if we do a no-fly zone, but they don't realize that no-fly zone would get you to World War III. Interesting enough, the one person that actually I had to give credit where credit's due, a broken clock is right at least twice a day. AOC did a live stream on Instagram, and then she ruined it by talking really creepy about capitalism. But she basically explained the same thing to people. She's like, guys, she's like, you need to understand what a no-fly zone is. Because all you guys that are saying, yeah, no-fly zone, we support it. They go, you know, you're essentially going to war if you support a no-fly zone.
Right. And I'm wondering if that support is coming from the people who don't want to go to war and they don't understand. They're like, oh, yeah, they just won't be able to fly airplanes over it. That's fine. No one will get hurt.
That's what they thought.
Okay.
Because once they explained to them what a no-fly zone actually means and they defined it for them, they're like, oh, no, that means we're going to war. No, we can't go to war. We got too many problems. Like, I care about my inflation.
Too many problems.
Yeah, we got to fix this country. I don't care about going to war once you explain, like, that's World War III, they go, oh, that's a bad idea. That's why you're seeing Dr. Fauci back on TV today. Yeah, just to let you know, because the American support for Ukraine is getting less and less because
I hope so.
Of people.
Yeah.
But anyway.
There's a lot of people opposing it. Hey, look, I want to say this. Other... Yeah, oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead. Yep.
Oh, I was going to say, back to the point of rounding up Russians and everything. One of the top tennis players in the world is supposed to be playing in the UK in Wimbledon, right? They basically told him, yeah, if you don't denounce Putin, you can't play. That came out this week. I don't know how far they're going to go with that, but this is where we're at.
See,
we are now
COVID going against was the blueprint for this shit. COVID was the and now it's an ideology. If you don't share my ideology, you cannot. This is fucking insane.
This is what we've all been saying. That guys, this is political. This was never about your health. This was about how far can we go to see how far people would go. And they knew they already knew how this was going to go. They knew. They sat there and they think tanked this out. So that was that. But to Russia, they're trying to do exactly in Russia like what they did in Ukraine. They're trying to get a color revolution, right? They're trying to get that color revolution in Russia so that they can have a regime change. If you piss off all the Russians and you basically cripple them, what are they going to do? They're not going to say, oh, look at Putin. I love Putin. I hate Putin. And I'm going to, and you know, it backfired though.
The thing is that
backfired.
The thing is that, see, Russia's not Iraq. They're not Mm-mm. Afghanistan. They're not Vietnam.
They're united.
They're not North Korea. Russia has weapons that could mm-hmm. destroy. They're pointed at us. Thousands of them. Yep. Even if we have a defense system, one, two of those get by. That's a city, dude. That's a center of a city. That's millions of aimed at New York. Millions of people dead. Look, there's a great scene, and to this point, I think we need to. This is not our typical enemy. They aren't, folks. There's a great scene in the movie Troy. Have you guys seen that movie? It's mm-hmm. the Hollywood's adaptation of the Iliad by Homer, Greek mythology. Anyway, the king of Troy, his name's Priam. He goes in. So there was a battle that happened between Achilles and Priam's son Hector. Achilles, played by Brad Pitt, ends up killing the Hector character. I think played by Eric Bana. It's a great movie. And he ends up dragging his body, right? And just to humiliate their loss. So the king of Troy, Priam, goes and asks Achilles, the warrior, for his son Hector's body. And Achilles had beat him again in this gruesome battle. And so Priam goes in the dark of night, and in secrecy, he talks to Achilles and he asks him for his son's body so that he could, you know, give him a proper burial, right? And Achilles says, if I let you take his body, you will still be my enemy in the morning. And the king gave a great response. He says, you're my enemy tonight, but even enemies can show respect. Okay. So Achilles realizes the wisdom in what, you know, in that, and he ends up giving him the body. And then later on, he admits that Priam was the better king than the one he was, you know, serving, the king of Greece. And I think the reason I give this example is I think there's a lesson here that reveals, I think, a missed opportunity from America, from our leaders. And I believe we're in a similar scenario today. We're not showing respect to an enemy who has the power, who has a lot of power, folks. And I think that could be our Achilles heel if we're too arrogant. Because that's what ends up happening to Achilles. He was too arrogant.
I think it's too late.
And the words, oh, how the mighty have fallen at the feet of their own pride, dude. This is not good. We need to understand this. Again, I'm not a Russia. Look, Russia in the annals of history, I think it will be You know, they've committed atrocities. They're not, Putin is not a good guy. I'm not saying that at all. He's a bad dude. Corn Pop was a bad dude, but again, this bad dude has nuclear weapons. He's not.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Who's Corn Pop?
That's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's man, nemesis. Corn Pop's a his bad nemesis. Dude. His nemesis.
You've never heard that.
Okay. I've
oh, that was, yeah, oh, yeah, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. I know we got to get moving on this, but I do feel that we're in the dissension of we're in the descending part of our throne, right? Our kingdom is on the downward side. Okay, doesn't mean we can't go back up. We're hitting that valley, and it's on purpose. You got to look at this. This administration, look, these people that run this country, they're not dumb. They're not dumb. We might think they're dumb and like, oh, all they have to do is turn it up.
They have an agenda.
They have an agenda. Their agenda is whatever it is. They want globalization. They want to destroy the American civilization as we know it, right? They want to destroy the republic and build it up as a democracy, because in democracy, mob rules, okay? Which means they could stay in power forever, which turns into basically, you know, dictatorship, okay? Just every 4 years, it's a new person. So they're doing everything in their power here, but they use the same things that, you know, to destroy America, that keeps America great, they want to make everywhere else great, okay? It's by design. These people aren't dumb. They know that the Keystone Pipeline could help offset our energy. We should become energy independent. But if we do that, you take away globalization. These are global elitists. And I heard it perfectly last night at Gutfeld. Right? I went to go see Greg Gutfeld last night.
Nice.
Actually pretty good. Basically, he was like this. He's like, you know, Joe Biden is one of those people that he was bad in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Then in the 80s, he was worse in the 80s than he was in the 70s. Then the 90s come. He's still in office. He was worse in the 90s than he was in the 80s. So he's constantly failing up. And now he finally failed to where he's the guy in charge. He's the face, and it's a disaster. But it all seems like it's part of their plan. You know what I mean? And they've been doing this for 50, 60 years, you know, with all the rules and, you know, making, you know, shaming everybody like, oh, you know, you can't say gay people are bad and they get AIDS. You know, we can't say that. But meanwhile, they're the ones who started the hysteria. But then Republicans were like, oh, that, you know, being gay is against my religion. It's bad. No, you're a heathen. And then Republicans started cowering to the shaming, right? Then in schools, like, everything has been very strategically planned and implemented to the point where it's all collapsing, but they control it all. You know, I was even listening to, you know, Tim Cass, and we're going to move on. He lives in West Virginia. It's a very pro-Trump. It's like probably one of the most conservative pro-Trump states in the country. Okay. But even in West Virginia, in the school boards, people from new, you know, these liberal cities, they've came in and they've gotten in charge of the school boards and they've been bringing in this woke stuff. And now it's being challenged, but it's happening everywhere. You are not, there's no place exempt from this democratic takeover. When we're like, oh, look at California losing seats, but they're just bringing them to all these other places and destroying them. Like, Arizona's a perfect example. It's California light. 2022 is really going to be real interesting, guys. You know, especially in the local level here in Arizona, because these Republicans have screwed so much stuff up. I have a feeling that it's going to be a Democratic takeover of the state.
So I did want to mention something about Rush before we move on to Hunter Biden. So the Twitterati was pleading. They were pleading with Tesla to deactivate a lot of the Russian Teslas.
Really?
Now when I saw that, I'm like, wait, what? They can do that? Tesla can just shut off. So which should concern people, because if they can do that with Russia, you're next, folks.
Well, not only that, they have the ability to drive your car. They can tell your car where to go. So if you're in your car on the freeway and they want to get rid of you, guess what? All of a sudden you're driving into a bridge pylon and everybody in your car's dead now, or driving off a bridge and now you're in the middle of the Mississippi River. Oh, Doors are locked. Windows don't roll down.
This is why we really do need to really spend an episode or two, not talking about so much the Great Reset, but everything that is that encompasses it, right? Because that's the final thing. But what you're saying, right? Driving all these electric cars where they control now because it's computerized, right? That ties into your credit score, the social credit score that they want to No, I'm being serious. Hey, you want to drive? Hey, if you have a low social credit score, they start pulling you out of society. And the better you do, you get rewarded. So this is happening in China right now. I mean, they're the model. And this is what everybody wants to start implementing. So it's very important that we do a show or a couple segments on this, like with real good detail to explain it correctly, because people need to understand what's going on. Because this will affect your pensions, your 401ks, because as they start bringing in ESGs and all that, and they're saying, hey, your company's like, hey, your 401k is tied to this now. You can't move it. You don't have a choice. This is our only plan. And the law says you have to put 5% of your check in, and it's going to this, and it's all backed by ESGs, which is basically no return on investment. To fund
ESG.
It's the environmental social governance.
Jesus.
So basically, all these companies, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, right? Mm-hmm. That is the social, right? The environmental. Hey, plastic straws, you know, how many cups of, you know, how many paper cup, recycled cups are you using at Starbucks? Like the CEOs are actually being graded on this right now in 2021 based on ESGs. The Starbucks CEO, and this is public because it's all part of the SEC filings and everything. The Starbucks CEO, one of his goals was people of color retention. Had to be more than 90%. He failed at like 85.
As employees? Or
yeah.
As customers?
Yeah. No. Employees. Okay. So basically, fire, it's okay to fire people, but as long as you have to keep a certain amount, you know, you have to retain 90% of your people of color.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now that think will about increase that. Productivity. Not.
But now think about this.
And guess what? Starbucks is going to go out of business because they're going to start offering shitty service and poorly made products.
Yeah, but where else you go when everybody else is shut down? Starbucks market, is the only coffee shop. But they're trying to destroy the free market.
See, the point that I want to make with the whole Tesla thing, I think one of the things is, and you see it in the movies. I mean, when the car came out, it's a symbol of freedom, of independence, of autonomy. Right? The car. This is what
it
represents.
Yeah. It used to be. I mean, I remember as a kid, right? 15, 16-year-olds, mm-hmm. They couldn't wait to get their driver's license. It's freedom. I'm going to be able to drive to the movies with my friends if I want to. I can go to the mall. I can do blah, blah, blah. But I can go to Bobby's house.
I don't want to take the bus. I don't want to take the bus no more. I hated taking the bus.
But the thing is horrible.
See, this is, I think it's a direct attack on that. It's again the idea.
Well, they've already trained our kids to not want driver's licenses.
Yep.
They've already got them to the point where I'm sure if you go to a high school today and ask 15 to 16 year olds, when are you planning on getting your license? The majority of them are going to say like, well, I don't know. I don't even know if I'll ever get
it. By design. Yeah. It's all by design.
Whatever it is.
But the face mask on kids.
You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah. Why do you think the only age group, and they even passed a bill in Congress and they're trying to get it through the Senate to where only kids from 5 and under are required to wear masks at all times in public schools and all this stuff. Why do they want to mask these little children?
They're getting them trained.
Compliance. Because if these kids realize that the reason why their childhood was taken from them, the true Greta Thunberg, how dare you? You know what I mean? My childhood. These people are truly taking away their childhood. They're taking away everything from these kids. And when these kids finally realize it, they'll never vote for a Democrat when they realize that it was them doing all this. So the more they beat them down into compliance and with the, you know, with everything we see that I send you guys, you know, and this is why they hate DeSantis, right? For the bill that he did, you know, protecting kids in, you know, from kindergarten through what, third grade or something like that. But anyway, but it's all by design. These people are not stupid. They're all lawyers. They learn the law. They took the systems of what capitalism is, they learned it, they got ingrained into it, they grew in it, and boom, like HR.
I think that's the war we should be waging. It is the information warfare. It is the propaganda warfare. That's the war we should be fighting against Russia, against China. That's the war. Yeah. If anything, because we, to Tim's point, I think we lost that battle long before the first nuclear bomb gets launched. Anyway, let's move on to Mr. Hunter Biden. Where are we at?
Russian disinformation. We call it the Russian Disinformation Act.
Oh, shit, guys. We already did 2 hours. Well, hold on.
Yeah, hour yeah. 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think we won't get into, because Hunter Biden is a whole... I think we're just going to leave it at that.
We can do that next week.
Yeah, let's do that.
Something big just popped out today that I just saw. Because of his laptop and the emails, and now that the New York Times is talking about it, he's under investigation. And there's talks right now that he's probably going to be indicted. Because this is big.
Biden is compromised, dude. Biden is compromised.
And it's going to, this is, if he gets indicted, it's over. And plus, his ex-girlfriend that was a stripper.
It's never over. He'll get suicided before it's over.
It's not.
But the ex-girlfriend that's a stripper,
get covered up,
she's talking
like
too.
Yeah.
She's talking. Hopefully.
She'll be suicided right before it can get in front of anybody.
What we'll do is, folks, on the next episode, we will dive deep into Hunter Biden's laptop, disgusting shit that he has on there, man. I did go into the webs, man, and I was
clicked on that Telegram link I sent you.
And it's him. I mean, I don't understand how you can deny. I don't understand how Barbara Walters said, "Oh yeah, can't be proven."
That's your job. FBI, your job is to protect.
The FBI had this video. This is angry. So
Bill Barr had this.
You're killing. We're going to talk about what you want to be talking about. So
yeah, all right, next time.
This is common knowledge.
We're going to talk about it on the next episode. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Salty Show. Find us on. Are we finally on the?
Nope.
No. Still waiting.
I'm still 194,000. Been waiting a month for my personal.
That's terrible. At least you can download it. I can't even download it. It's not coming out in Android yet. But I'm not moving. I'm not budging. All right. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow. Hit the like button. And please share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Auf Wiedersehen.
See ya.
Don't do drugs.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Salty Show.com.